John had asked me to fill in this morning and share a little bit of the Word of God with you. And hopefully we could all be blessed by the greatness of the Word. And, you know, God has given us of His Spirit and works within us individually, as individuals. And that's the beauty of what we have. It's the greatness of all that our Lord has accomplished. And it really is the purpose as to why, you know, God sent His Son. We couldn't attain salvation on our own. We needed a Savior. And one of the greatest things about having the Savior is that we now can come to God, pray to Him, worship Him as individuals, and know that He hears us and know that He will answer our requests and our prayers. I want to share a little bit this morning with you on the topic of standing firm. Take your Bibles, if you have, please, and go to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And to say the least, the times that we live in are challenging. There are tremendous challenges all around us, on every hand. We're challenged to stay faithful to what we know, to the truth of the Word. We're challenged to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And it's imperative that we stand for God, stand strong for Him, and know that in this effort, we can help others find their way to God, be part of that ministry of the reconciliation that God has called us to be. And He's given us the ministry and His Word of reconciliation. So we are equipped in many, many, many wonderful ways. And we're going to look at this aspect of being equipped this morning in light of standing firm on what we know and what God has given us, okay? And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Now, I'm reading from the NASB, so if it's a little bit different than your King James, you'll understand why. But, you know, the first word in this verse is "therefore." And, you know, whenever we see this word "therefore," we should always ask ourselves, what's the "therefore" there for? Why? And it really has to go back to, in part, chapter 3. So I want you to turn the page over to chapter 3 for a moment. And I want you to look with me at verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press so that I may lay hold for that which also I was laid hold by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." Laid hold of what? Perfection. Being perfect. That perfection and that being perfect will come when our Lord returns. He says, "But this one thing I do, one thing, forgetting which lies behind and reach forth unto what is before me, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Go back to verse 1 of 4, please. The exhortation to "therefore," and in this way, stand firm, in part has to do with pressing forward, moving ahead with the things of God, not relying on what has taken place in the past, not regard what has taken place in the past, but our lives as men and women of God are to press forward with the things of God, looking ahead to what God has in store for us. God has given us of His Spirit. But the accomplishments that we have in Christ are ours because of what He has done, and we follow and we walk in those accomplishments as well as what He is doing in the church today. He sits, our Lord sits at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession to God for us, His saints. He is just as active now in our lives as He was when He walked upon the earth. We not only walk in the accomplishments, we walk on the revelation that is available to you and I, the inspiration that is available to you and I, the guidance that is available to you and I, the comfort that is available right now we can press toward that mark knowing that God will not leave us without an answer, without a solution. And sometimes no answer is the answer. Maybe you want to do something, and God says you do nothing. Or he may tell you what to do. The point is, we have the ability to move forward, not to rely on what Christ has done, although we should, however, move forward with what he will tell us or what is available to us now. It is very important for us to realize that we ought to move ahead. That is how you stand firm. You don't stand firm by doing nothing. We don't stand firm by just sitting back, by relaxing on what Christ has done. That's not what we've been called to do. And the purpose of this standing firm is to maintain our position with God and to help others by reconciling them to God. That is the purpose of why we have what we have as God's people, why Christ came, why we have all the wonderful things he says we have, is so that we can maintain the relationship. It's not that once you have it, you just sit back and do nothing. You know, Christianity is to be an active thing based on the word, based on the truth, based on the information that we can receive via the Spirit, because God has given us of this Spirit. He's given it for a reason, to lead us and to guide us. Jesus Christ said, it's better for you that I go. For if I don't go, I can't send that Spirit, that Comforter to you. It's a reason for it. And again, this reason is so that we can help others. Standing firm in the Lord. All that Christ has done and is doing is essential. Keep a ribbon here, please, and go to back a book to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. We're going to look at some verses of Scripture that I know aren't new. A lot of us have read many of these things many a times, but I want to read this morning and look at these verses in light of standing firm for God, standing strong for him, not only in what the accomplishments of Christ has done, but what we can do now with the Spirit that we have within us. Ephesians 6:10 says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that ye may be able to stand firm. There it is again. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The armor that we have from God that we can apply within our lives, the purpose is so that we can stand for him. The purpose is so that we can make the presence of God known, not only in our lives, but to help others, to reach out and help others and bring them, reconcile them back to God. This is what God has called us to do. He has called us to reach out to others, not just to sit back and to be comforted and to be blessed by what he's done for us. That's good. That's good stuff. But the real point of it all is so that we can help others. We can bring others to God. We can reconcile them back to God. And it takes putting on certain armor. It takes putting on certain things within our lives to make that stand obvious, to make it effective, to make the light shine bright, to make the salt really do what it's supposed to do. Because you and I are the light and we are the salt. Without us and people like us standing for the truth to God, there is no really hope for anyone else, because they don't know who God is. They don't really have any idea. The armor is what enables us to stand firm. Look at verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual fight. We don't fight with people. We don't get involved in their negativity. We don't get involved in their opinions. We don't get involved in their causes. We get involved in the things of God. Our struggle is a spiritual struggle. You want to eliminate the darkness? Introduce the light. It's really very simple. But the trick, and it's tricky, boy, the devil is so seductive, he plays on everybody's emotions, trying to get them to react to this, trying to get them to react to that cause, trying to get them to agree with this thing or that thing. And they're all diversions to get us away from what God has called us to do. As God's people, he has called us to stand firm, hold forth the light, hold forth the gospel message. This is what we do. This is what dispels the darkness. All that other stuff is here today and gone tomorrow. And it's going to come tomorrow and be gone the next day. We have our struggles with this generation. Now, the next generation is going to have their struggle. If we don't stand for God and make the word known and make the light known, we've not done our job. And we have a job to do. When you accepted Christ as your Lord, when you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, when you accept the fact that God has given you of his Spirit, it comes with a response. And that response is called responsibility. We just don't sit back. And when I say sit back, I mean with the word. Not with this cause or that cause or march with this group or that group. All of that stuff, okay, maybe okay. But your primary reason, my primary function is to make the truth of the word available. Hold forth the gospel message and don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because that's all it is. It's entanglement. It's a trick to get you emotionally worked up. And all of a sudden, boom, the trap is set and it's got you. We stand on the word. We stand on what God has called us to do. We are in a spiritual fight. Standing firm means to put on the proper armor. Look again at verse 12. Struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, powers, forces of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, again, take up the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. This is the point today. Stand firm. Our job as God's men and women are to stand firm on his word, on the principles, introducing the light, bringing that ministry of reconciliation, holding forth the gospel. This is what we are to do. This is our stand. This is our position. And by doing that, I'll tell you right now, no one will argue with you. They'll probably say, okay, those that don't want to know, I'll talk to you later. And let them go. But those that want to know, it'll be available for them to know. Stand firm. It's very important. Look at verse 14. Stand firm again, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and have put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having girded your loins with truth. I looked this up a little bit this week, and I came up with a definition, and I want to read it to you. Loins girded with truth is symbolically represented as a belt, which both protects the abdomen and gathers up garments so that we can fight effectively. The soldier putting on the belt prepared himself for action. It freed him for movement, and listen to this, put him in a battle frame of mind. The truth, or the in this section, is representative of the belt, of what the warrior would do to prepare himself for battle. You and I put on the truth of God's word to prepare us for the struggle and the battle that we are surrounded with. I thought that was really cool. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, okay? Righteousness is symbolic or represented as a breastplate, which provides essential protection for the most vital organs. The righteousness spoken here is what we have by faith in what Christ has accomplished for us. The righteousness is our best defense in the spiritual battle. This breastplate of righteousness that we put on, that we mentally have in our heart and in our mind, is what Christ has accomplished. It's what wards off that discouragement, the sanctification, the justification, the redemption that we have, the forgiveness we've been given. All of this is part of that breastplate that we wear. And that is something that we had nothing to do with. The breastplate of righteousness has everything to do is what Christ accomplished, is what he did for us. We, by faith, by faith, have to accept what he has done. And that will enable us to go into this struggle, into this spiritual battle victoriously, because it cannot be by your ability or my ability. It just will not work. We'll fall short. We won't come up on top as we should. We just don't have the ability. It's all in the accomplished work of Christ, by faith, believing unto that, and then walking in the situation and watch God perform. Watch him do his thing. But he needs men and women of faith to stand and to hold forth the greatness of the word, girding your loins with the truth of the word and understanding what the accomplishments are by that breastplate of righteousness. And I want you to look down with me, if you would, at verse 17, which I thought was really good. There were other parts of the armor, but these three I wanted to touch on. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. Salvation is pictured as a kind of helmet here, protecting an essential part of the body. A soldier will never enter the battle without his helmet. The helmet of salvation protects us against discouragement, against the desire to give up. Wow. The helmet of salvation, okay, prevents us from having the desire to give up, not only in knowing that we are saved, but that God will keep his word. It is our hope. The helmet of salvation is our hope. It keeps us energized. It keeps us motivated. Keeps us in that frame of mind of not getting discouraged, not looking at the things around us, not looking in despair or uncertainty, but knowing that what God has said he was going to do, he will do, that his promises are true, and that we have a hope that one day we will be like him and we will be made whole. So those three elements are really something that I thought were interesting in light of this armor. Go back to Philippians 4, please, if you will. All in light of standing firm. Verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. We can rejoice in what God has done. We can be totally, totally delighted in what he, our Heavenly Father, has accomplished in Christ. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice in that. Rejoice in what he has already done for us. And when we walk in any situation, knowing what God has done for us, knowing what we can offer others, and reconciling them back to God is something to be very grateful and thankful for. You want comfort? You want peace, which we're going to read about in a few minutes? This is how we get peace. We're at peace with God. We are at peace with our Heavenly Father because not anything we do. Look, it's not what you do or what you don't do. It's what Jesus Christ has done. You can't add to it. You can't take away what he has done. It is not what you or I have done or not done. It is what he has done for us. That's the freedom. That's the greatness of what we have. We can't mess that up. It's all about what God wanted in the beginning. It's all about what we have now in part. And it all is going to come together in the end. It's all part of God's plan. It's all, like I said in the beginning, the purpose is to maintain our position with God and to help others by reconciling them to God. This is the whole mission of what we have. Maintaining what God has given us by standing firm and communicating it. Helping others. That's what God wants. He wants us to help others. How? With the word. Others need to know they've been sanctified. They've been set apart. They've been justified, which is the legal term. They've been made righteous, right with God, not because of what they do or what they don't do. It's because of what he did in his sacrifice. We've been forgiven. We have it all. Jesus Christ, the competent, we need to stand firm in this and let others know what it's really all about. It's tremendous, tremendous stuff. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, and that's a command. That's a command. in light of everything that we're talking about and all the, we ought to be anxious for nothing. This is a command. This is not a maybe. This is like, well, no, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is the broad term. Supplication is the specific details of our prayer. And God wants details. God wants details. And he wants us to pray because he wants you to participate in the process. We don't walk around and say, oh, God knows what I need, so I don't have to bring that up. Man, he knows. He knows before I ask. Yeah, he does. But what he really wants is your participation. And that's why we pray with supplication, with details. He wants all of us to be engaged with him in the deliverance, in the provision. So with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let these requests be made known unto God. And be anxious for nothing. No, no, not an issue. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is God in Christ in you. We have it. We have the ability. We have everything that it takes for us to be right with God. He's made us right. We shouldn't sit around and wonder. We shouldn't condemn because of this or because of that in the past. The devil tries to use those things in our past to trip us up in what we're doing now. But what did Paul write to them? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget the things which are, you can't change it. There's nothing you could do about it. The only way to get over it is to press forward. It's a one-shot deal. You can't press forward and go back at the same time. Two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. You're either going forward or you're going back. Standing firm is the process by which we move forward with God, move forward with the promises, looking at the accomplished work, looking at what he's doing now and what he's going to do in the future. We have it all. There is no reason why we should have a doubt, fear, or worry. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we should focus on. That's our goal, mission, whatever you want to call it. Remember, the purpose is to maintain what God has given us and to help others get there. Jesus said, the Great Commission, go forth. Go forth and preach the gospel message. And the gospel message really, I mean, it is, there are really three main things in the gospel message that we need to be aware of. It's the coming kingdom, the accomplished works of Christ on the cross, and the resurrection. The coming kingdom, that's the helmet of salvation, right? The accomplished work, which is with the breastplate that we walk in, that we have in front of us. And ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back. The resurrection. And that's what the world, and that's what people need to know. It's not about here. I talk with my children all the time, and I tell them, look, it's not here. It's what's coming. And either God lied or he told the truth. What better thing to stand for? What better thing to fight for? What better struggle could you have in your life? There is no other struggle worth entertaining than that which God has put before us by holding forth the gospel message, standing in what he's given us. That's worth living for, and in the end, really worth living for. Because this flesh may die, but in the end, we're going to live. It's like a moment, right? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Verse 8. And I love these last verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right or pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellency in any worth of praise, dwell on these things. You want to think about something? Think on these things. Not the hatred in the world. Not the negativity. Not this group. Not that group. Mm-hmm. Dwell on these things. Mm-hmm. These are the things men and women of God who have biblical faith, this is what they think about. This is what they meditate upon. There's a lot of evil in the world. more than you can shake a stick at. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as far as I can understand, light still dispels darkness. I don't care what level you're on. You bring the light into the room, it's not dark anymore. It's just not dark anymore. It's that simple. We really have to have great faith, standing for what God has done in his Son for us. That's what we dwell on. And what's pure, what's lovely, what's of good report. If there's to be any virtue or any, we're to think these things. Think these things. Keep a ribbon here and go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Another familiar verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That don't work, Rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Look, our fight is not what's going on in the world. Now, we may be passionate about certain things in life, and that's okay. But the ultimate fight that we're involved in is not what's going on in the flesh. It is not carnal. You're not going to solve it. You're not going to be the remedy. The only thing that's going to solve it, and the only remedy that I know, is accepting Christ as your Lord, accepting him as your Savior, God giving you that of his Spirit, and bringing forth the light to others that they may know. That is the only remedy. Otherwise, you're going to be subjected to debate, to opinion, to arguments, to... It just never gets done. We had to rise above it. We're to rise above it. Well, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to... For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not fleshly or carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that rises up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You and I are to lead everything back to the Word, everything to the Word, everything to what God has to say. What is God's opinion? What is God? What would Jesus Christ do? How would he respond? And if you don't know, go to the Word. And if you need help, ask someone. That's why we have a family. That's why we have a fellowship. That's why we don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. It's to ask the questions. It's to interact. No man is an island. We're not supposed to live as islands. We got to get above it. We got to get above it. Whatever it takes, we got to get above it. We ought to assemble together. We ought to help each other, encourage each other, nourish each other. You know, if you read, I think some of the 1 John and 1 and 2 John, it says, having many things to say unto you, I don't write with pen and ink, but I hope to see you soon that our joy may be full. The joy, the full joy of what we have as a family is experienced when we see each other face to face. We cannot allow ourselves to be tricked out of it. Listen, I understand we all have to do certain things. We all have to, you know, keep a distance of somewhat. But look, we got to start coming up. We got to start coming out. That our joy may be full because it's in face to face. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do we believe this? I think we do. I know we do. Very important. Very important. We choose to put on the weapons of warfare that God has given us. We take every thought and lead it captive to Christ. That's what it is to stand. That's what it is to stand firm. Look in Romans, please. Back a book, Acts Romans chapter 12. Again, familiar verses of scripture, but I'm looking at this stuff today in the light of standing firm. Standing firm. Again, our purpose is to maintain our position and to help others by reconciling them to God. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you. Make believe Paul is talking to you right now. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship, and be not conformed to the world. Don't let the world trick you into thinking you have to be fearful. Don't let them trick you into thinking that you have to run from this. Don't let the world trick you thinking you have to separate yourselves in some way. It's a lie. It's a lie. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. We have to increase our faith. We have to increase our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word, sharing the word, communicating the word, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But all the more as we see the day, all the more as we see the day approaching. So that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God's word is perfect. His will is perfect. Go back to Philippians, please. We'll close in Philippians 4 at the end of this great chapter. Stand firm. God has given us so much reason. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to let us down. He's there for us every day, in every situation, in every human condition. God is there. We have the Spirit of God within us to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us. Look, we've been healed. Christ died on the cross. He gave us healing. Healing is now. We have it. And you know, one of the greatest ways, I know it's a little sidebar, one of the greatest way I know to think about the communion. Every time you eat and every time you drink, you thank God for what Christ has done for us, how his broken body and shed blood on the cross for us. And by his stripes, we've been healed. We've been healed. We need to walk into this healing. We need to walk into the deliverance. Ask God to help you if you need help. Ask him to show you. Just step out on that. Remember that? Step out on your faith. Step out on your... We need to step out. Step out and stand up. Stand firm. Philippians 4, 9. The things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, Paul says, practice. Practice. You don't take one piano lesson and say you're a concert pianist. You don't take one guitar lesson and think you're Segovia. You don't take one vocal lesson and think you're Celine Dion. Practice. Put this word on every day when you get up. Share it every day. Run it through your mind. Go over the accomplishments. Remember what God has done for you. Convince. He's healed us. We have healing. We have deliverance. We have provision. Practice. And I love that Paul says, you've seen it in me. Ladies and gentlemen, the people that we go before, do they see it in you? Do they see these things in you? That which you've learned? That which you've received? We've all heard it. We've all seen it. Do the people we're in front of every day see it in you like they saw it in Paul? Something to think about, isn't it? Practice. The things, and the God of peace will be with you. And there is so much anger, discourse, unpeaceful unrest, uncertainty in the world. Yet you and I can have peace. Why? We know our God. We know what he's done for us. We know where we're going. And when he returns, we will be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father in heaven, We come to you today and we ask to help us stand, Father. Give us more boldness. Give us more courage. Give us all that we need so that we can walk out and help others to know you, to know Jesus Christ and what he has done, to know the great victory that we have. Father, we can't add to what he has done. We cannot add to what you have done in him. We just walk in that with great faith. We believe, Father, we really, really take this seriously and believe that Jesus Christ died for us so that we won't have to die. We may fall asleep for a time, but we're getting up. We are getting up with new bodies, new minds. The word will be written in our hearts. We have such a tremendous hope. Heavenly Father, what you have done. Oh, God, we couldn't do this. We needed you. How grateful we are, Father. We love you so much. We pray for our families, our children, our loved ones. Give us the words, the kindness, the courage, the compassion, and the concern to help them know you, to know the future you have for them, and that with you, Father, all things are possible. We love you. We praise your holy name, and we are so thankful for your word. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray today with great thanksgiving. Amen.